Well, welcome to Studio 91 by telephone, Mr. Madrone, 5th District Supervisor, Humboldt County Board of Supervisors. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, you bet. Good morning, everybody.
And, well, the interest I had in doing this call was, well, I got the invitation. We've been talking about doing interviews, and
yeah.
Here it is.
Right on.
Very good. So I'm recording this conversation, so the message, the invitation was concerning the message about the Board of Supervisors asking people to wear face masks in public.
Yeah.
So I was just wondering if you could discuss that. What was that conversation at the board level?
Sure. Well, as you know, this is a pretty serious disease, and some places are seeing a huge amount of deaths. Luckily in Humboldt, we have not had any deaths yet, and I know this has been incredibly difficult for everybody. This is uncharted territory for all of us to have such a thing where we shut down all the activities so intensively, and that's put a lot of hardship on everyone. But as you can see in Humboldt, while we did have initially some significant cases, many related to travelers coming back into the county, we have flattened that out, flattened the curve, as they like to say. And because of all the physical distancing and the hard work that everybody's doing currently, we have very few new cases. There was, I think, 7 days out of 9 with no new cases. So that's good news, and that has everything to do with everybody doing their part in physical distancing, wearing masks and things like that. And so... In an emergency like this, the health officer is in charge along with the sheriff, and the Board of Supervisors are trying to help get messages out and work as part of that operational emergency services team, in the sense that we're trying to keep the community informed and moving forward. And so we know we flattened that curve. We've done really good as a community, and a lot of people really want to see us start opening things back up. Of course, as we do that, the chance of spreading the virus increases. So what we want to do to prepare for starting to open things back up is starting Friday, tomorrow, we have a mandatory mask covering requirement. So if you're going out from your home into public, you need to wear a mask. And this is not only to protect others, but to protect yourself. And while they're not 100% foolproof, they do help a lot. And it sends a message that this is a really serious event that we're in the middle of. And so, again, starting tomorrow, it will be mandatory. The sheriff is not going to cite people out of the gate. It's going to be an attempt at education initially, trying to get people to comply. So please, let's all voluntarily get on board and do that. And if people are not adhering to it, there is the potential for citations. And I know that seems all very, very intense for folks. Believe me, I get it. This is we've never seen anything like this. But by cooperating and working together like this, we can save lives, and we can reduce the harm to the community from this. So that's what's going on with the mask in place. It starts on Friday, tomorrow.
Yeah, I got that notice. We have our own Office of Emergency Services, and mm-hmm. they make their daily reports two times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And they include the data from Humboldt County and the data from the Kamau Medical Center.
Yeah.
And yeah, I have noticed that your number of cases, there's a good reduction. So I'm thinking,
yeah.
Wow, it is this coming to an end? But then, you know, who knows?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. We're really in uncharted territory here. But, you know, we can look at things like the 1918 Spanish flu, which was a pandemic, and it was over, you know, 100 years ago. And it traveled around the globe, and it hit Humboldt County. And in the first wave, as they say, which is really where we're at right now in what we call the first wave of the virus, in Humboldt County, there were a number of deaths. It got hit pretty hard. Ferndale, though, amazingly, in wave one, masked up. So even back in the early 1900s, people recognize that wearing masks might be a way to help prevent spread. And so Ferndalians did that, and they had very few cases in the first wave. And then the summer came along, and then the next winter, fall, and of course with more moisture, that's when flu and virus-like things tend to take off. And people had lowered their guards, and then Ferndale got hit really hard in the second and third wave. So not to put fear into people at all, but to understand that just because the case numbers have gone way down does not mean we're out of the woods with this situation. And so I doubt that we'll ever go back to, you know, the way things were before all of this. We may, you know, for a long time, if not forever, avoid shaking hands. I love the Oriental approach of bowing and with your hands folded. And other ways, people are kicking toes together and doing other things, you know, rather than making that personal contact. So, and we probably won't see big concerts and big sports events for some time. But hopefully, starting soon, we may be able to start reopening up some businesses and some other movement and activity. The precursor to being able to do that is having this mandatory mask being worn when out in public to try and prevent spread, and then also increasing our testing capacity and increasing our surge capacity at the hospitals and the clinics and things like that. So we've been lucky in Humboldt in that we haven't seen a massive surge. Let's all hope that never happens. And, you know, people can get upset, go, oh, it never happened. The hurricane, we had the warning and it didn't happen. But really, it's so much better to be prepared and to have it go better than to not be prepared and have a whole lot of people dying and getting sick and overwhelming our healthcare facilities. So we have made great bounds in increasing our healthcare capacity as far as face masks, shields, ventilators, hospital beds prepared. All of these things are happening, and we're trying to beef that up further before further opening things up. And so with the masks in place tomorrow, with the efforts on the county and others to increase supplies, testing, and all these other things, we may be able to start loosening some things up for some businesses and some activity of moving around the community. But we will be doing that slowly so that we can monitor what's going on. And so if we initiate new standards of movement and opening up more businesses and all that, if we have increased testing and other abilities for surge, if we start seeing the numbers tick up within a couple of weeks, we know that we've got a problem. Maybe we better back off. But if we start opening things up and we're not seeing increased cases after a two-week incubation period, then we can try some more measures to be loosened up and then watch that for two more weeks, which is a basic incubation period. And so that's kind of what we're thinking as far as a new normal, slowly opening things up, monitoring really carefully, asking folks to continue physical distancing and wearing masks, washing your hands, and all those other things. And together, we will get through this and get back to something that is closer to normal. But we don't know, will there be another wave next fall, next winter, and other things. So, you know, ultimately, it may be a year or so before a vaccine is created. The Gates Foundation is putting hundreds of millions of dollars into that effort. And it is hoped that those vaccines will be available sometime in the not-too-distant future, 6 to 12 months, something like that, and then we'll be able to move forward at that point.
Yeah, the medical approach is something that takes time. You've got to test it, and it's got to be done in the laboratory, and that's going to take an...
And it's hard for folks.
Yeah.
You know, people are struggling, loss of jobs, loss of income, businesses are folding up. There's a lot going on, and we can talk a little bit more about that and resources, too, if you want.
Yeah, I heard on the news program earlier this morning that one city is considering opening up coffee houses. I think, well, you have to take off your mask.
Yeah, to drink coffee, right? Yeah. Oh, I know. There's Georgia's being a little nutsy. They think, you know, their numbers are going up really rapidly, and they're saying, oh, we're going to open it all back up. You know, it's like, wow, good luck.
Yeah. Yeah, good luck on that. Wow.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening.
No, and I know people are getting antsy. You know, we're all, it's getting hard, right? But if you need help, reach out. There are phone numbers and other entities that are set up to help people. So that's really what we're trying to do, is keep an eye on each other, keep an eye on your neighbors, your family, and let's try and help each other out in this time of need. And really, it's going to strengthen our community in the long run in terms of us all learning how to help each other better, how to focus on our food sources and growing more food in the garden. You can't hardly find starts at the store right now. People are doing it. They're planting their gardens. They got time on their hands, right? So that's good.
Yeah, it's the old Victory Gardens from World War II.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I remember those.
Heard
stories about them because I was a young child.
and it shows that the majority of Americans still do approach the social distancing or physical distancing and other things, other measures to try and help prevent the spread. We are seeing some protests in Del Norte County and other states around the Union. People are getting antsy. They want to get out and just open everything back up right away. And that's just not the wise thing to do. So we got to take this carefully, scientifically, and make sure that we're prepared and taking care of each other. So,
are there stores on the coast that are making home deliveries there?
Yeah, there are. Like, for instance, in Trinidad, the Murphy's Market is doing that. And I believe many of the stores have a process set up to be able to do that, curbside deliveries, and you can call in orders. There's a lot of that going on around the coast, yes.
Yeah, we have that here in Hoopa. They're doing home deliveries to people 65 years of age and older.
Sure.
So anybody like can me. Call, and you call in by 3 o'clock or before 3, and you'll get a home delivery that day.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, it is. We've used it several times now.
Yeah,
there's
a
minimum of $20 per purchase, but hey, that's easy.
Well, it is, and if you went out, you'd spend $5 on gas, and you get your time, and so yeah, that's a worthwhile effort, and good.
Yeah, it was a learning curve on their end too.
I'm sure.
There's a young staff there, and they're very dedicated, and they're aiming to please, and they're doing well.
That's great.
Yeah,
we
really enjoy the distance. This is the thing when they deliver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we get a little opportunity to chat a little bit with them.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And, you know, there's going to be a public dialogue on all this tonight. And I know out there in the Trinity Valley, it's sometimes hard to access some of this coastal information. And that's why KIDE is so important. You guys do such a great job of keeping your community informed. But I just want to let your listeners know, if they happen to hear this today, that tonight from 6 to 7:30, there is a fireside chat with Sheriff Hansel, the health officer, Dr. Teresa Frankovich, Deputy Health Officer, Dr. Josh Ennis. And they're going to be talking about the economy, the surge that is expected, hopefully will never happen, and then what's next for Humboldt, how we're going to roll things out and all that. So for the people in the Trinity Valley, I mean, if you get Channel 10, you can get it there, but I don't have Channel 10. But you can go to Access Humboldt's YouTube page. Just type into your browser, Access Humboldt YouTube. And I believe you could watch the event there if you have a computer and have internet. Not everybody does. So those are some of the ways that you could access that from tonight. And I'm sure there'll be some written material out there in the media as well.
I can do a little edit on what you just said.
Great.
And we could run that as a public service announcement, run it a few times so people can get to Access Humboldt. We've done that before when they gave us advance notice about some public forums that were happening.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. So you were mentioning something about we don't know how much we can recover and how quickly we can. So that hints at a new normal type of a situation. Is there a discussion going on at the board level about that?
Yeah, there is. You know, we have not been having a lot of board meetings. So many of them have been canceled because we can't meet in person. And we're so focused on this COVID event that we're not really processing a whole lot of the other work that we might normally be engaged in. And again, folks need to understand that the Board of Supervisors are not in charge during an emergency. I think most people think we are, but we are not. The health officer and the sheriff are the ones that are in charge, and they're doing an incredible job. And as a board, what we try to do is, number one, when they pass emergency ordinances, we need to ratify those within a week. And so we've been doing that with the various orders that have come along, shelter in place, masks, and other things. But the other thing is that the board, we can engage in discussions about issues and think about policy directives that we might pass in order to provide support to our staff and the community for doing things. For instance, with the homeless population, which, you know, it's large in Humboldt. It's a couple thousand people, and I don't know what the homeless population is in the Trinity Valley. I know there's a significant number of people around the Willow Creek area. Not sure about the reservation in the square, but I suspect there are homeless people on the reservation as well, right? And so there's this project called Project Room Key that is trying to take the most vulnerable in the homeless population and put them in hotel rooms that the county is renting and getting some funding from the state to help with that. So people that are tested positive, or they have symptoms, or they're 65 years or older and say they have a compromised immune system, then we're trying to get those people into hotel rooms as best as we can. Not everybody wants to do that. There are many people that, due to various conditions in their life, are not going to be able to move into that kind of a situation. Maybe they have a substance abuse issue or mental health issues or other things. So we're trying our best to reach out to that community and help those that want that help. But there's a huge amount of people that are still left living in the woods, in the marshes, in the along the stream corridors, the wooded areas, in along the coast anyway, and in very unsanitary conditions. And yet they still are coming out into the community. And so that has a great potential for many of them to be infected and or to cause a spread or a surge in the community. So at the board level, we have been initiating discussions on, you know, what else can we do for the homeless population, you know, and things like that. So, and right now the board is working with the health officer and the sheriff to talk about what are essential services, and of those that were not allowed to open, which ones might we start thinking about reopening, and what sort of requirements on physical distancing and things can be in place. So we're trying to think about that now, because we need to get businesses back open. You know, small businesses have taken a huge hit in this around Willow Creek, Hoopa, I'm sure, as well as on the coast. So, you know, that's what we're doing now as a board, is having discussions about what will the new normal look like? How do we go about reopening and things like that and being safe?
And part of that, the new normal is the education services.
Yes.
You know, yet, well, Humboldt County's got the university and the College of the Redwoods. And
oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
That's
a big deal. And, you know, schools aren't going to reconvene till next fall, and what's that going to look like? And so with everybody sheltering in place, one of the other things that's happened is that our internet services, whether you are on satellite, I'm on Dish Network, whether you were, I'm actually on Exceed, Viasat, and, you know, as more and more of us are staying home and trying to work from home, and students are trying to Zoom and you know, tie into the internet to get their schoolwork and different things, it's overloading the system. And I know you and I have talked quite a bit about how can we improve internet service in the Trinity Valley and Hoopa. You know, where are we at with Digital 299? The Karuk just got awarded a increased grant amount for their project coming down 96 that's going to go over Bald Hills to the coast. You know, we were talking about how do we interlink that 96 line, the 299 line, work with Hoopa and increase capacity in the Hoopa Valley. But one of the other things I've discovered is that there have been a number of lines that have been run around the county out to rural schools, and like Maple Creek up the Mad River and others, where the line goes to the school, and it leaves, say, from Blue Lake or Corbell, goes all the way out there, and nobody along that line is allowed to tie into it because the line was put in with grant money from the state and the feds, and so AT&T, who put it in, isn't allowed to hook anybody up for a period of years because they're not allowed to make profit on what was a grant-funded project. And, you know, I get that, right? We don't want to pay a private sector individual to do something, give them a grant, and then let them somehow make a ton of money off that. But could we change that? And actually, there's a hearing today that I'm going to call in on with the California Public Utilities Commission to suggest that maybe they could allow for connections along that line, but just not make profit, break even, whatever the cost is to connect. Because the line's there, and with people working from home and school distancing, you know, school distance learning, we need to increase our internet capacity all over the county, and Trinity Valley is a big part of that. So,
I agree with that. The Klamath Trinity Joint Unified School District is one of those districts that have that
line.
Yes. Yeah. And we always wonder, how come no one else can tag into that?
Yeah.
So you just explained that.
Okay.
So,
good.
Yes, maybe.
Well, I just discovered all this last week. So.
Well, thank you for sharing.
Sure.
Why couldn't there be a nonprofit organization? You got non-commercial education media already. You got KIDE and Keat TV, non-commercial education services.
Yep.
And why couldn't an internet type of entity be created like that?
Yeah, I mean, you got the hardware there and everything. It's like, come on.
Yeah, well, our public utilities district just submitted an application for, mm-hmm. and it probably won't germinate for a couple more years yet, even if it is approved.
Yep.
And we suspect that it will be approved because they're asking us to do it.
Yeah.
So that's in the works, and that's going to make that connection to the Kurduk and 299 lines there. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's the new normal part we like. You know, these kinds of emergencies, the silver lining is that it presents opportunity for communities and government to think about, how can we make all of this better, you know? And that's going to be part of the new normal, is allowing for increased capacity for people to work from home, get educated from home, and all these kinds of things. And it will serve us well in the future.
Well, it just so happens we're shopping around, or there's been a recent pool of interviews for a new superintendent for the Klamath Trinity Joint Unified School District.
I saw that,
Yeah, so we have to put that on the table here.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yep.
Well, look forward to that. Thank you for sharing that information. Wow.
Yeah, no, that's exciting. That's exciting stuff, that if we can get some real serious positives out of all this, then the rest of it will come back together over time. But let's take care of each other, right? Keep an eye out.
Absolutely. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about this time?
Oh, well, you know, I'm looking forward to getting back to the normal stuff of fighting for the water on the Trinity River, you know, that we have a right to, and getting people working in our forest doing thinning and other projects, and working to get the modular facility in Hoopa back up and running, maybe building tiny homes and things like that to help with our homelessness issues and other things. So everybody's antsy, I know I am, to get back to the work at hand and focus in on what's going on. I look forward to renewing my monthly office hours in Willow Creek, which as soon as the shelter in place is lifted, I will reinitiate those. Those will be on the third Wednesday of every month at the Willow Creek Library from 10 till 2 o'clock. And I am also working to establish office hours in Hoopa and in Wichpec at the Yurok Tribal Headquarters, as well as up in Orleans. So come June or so, I am very hopeful that I'll be able to reestablish and start those new office hours in order to provide better access for folks in the Trinity Valley to their supervisor and to county government. So I look forward to that. I really enjoy that time getting out with people. You know, it's not always easy to get over the hill, so I'm more than willing to make that effort. It's part of my district, and I look forward to talking with people.
I look forward to you opening these offices, and a simple phone call works just as well for us anyway, because we can share a lot of information and just not a broad conversation with more people.
That's true. That's true. I'm always available by phone and by email, although sometimes it can take a little while to get back. Believe it or not, I get to a lot of calls and emails every day, but hey, that's the job, right?
That's absolutely. And I thank you for doing a good one.
Well, thank you, Joe.
So with that, maybe we can make arrangements to do a follow-up and find out maybe in another week, maybe a couple of weeks.
That sounds great. Yeah, I think that'd be really good. Everybody, you know, on one level, we're getting way too much information, and on another level, we're not quite getting the information we need when we need it, right? So
right.
It's tricky to find that, but I'd be more than happy to do a weekly or every other week update with you all.
Very good.
All right.
Well, thank you very much for your time and your work.
Thank you. Take care.
You too. This interview has been a production of KIDE Hoopa Travel Radio, 91.3 FM. Produced, hosted, and engineered by Joseph Orozco. Thank you for listening.